So in our scripture this morning, you're going to notice a little bit of a theme. Both of the scriptures kind of sound pretty close, pretty much in common. And one of the reasons that this is because this is one of the pivotal, most famous passages in the Bible, so much so that the words show up in multiple places because, you know, it's pretty important. How it shows up in the book of Deuteronomy that we're going to be hearing first is the central focus point for the Hebraic scriptures and for many Jewish people today. It's called the Shema, and it's a prayer. It's, you know, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And then everything that comes from that. A good Jewish person will say this multiple times a day. A good Jewish person will say this when they wake up, when they go to bed, when they are walking to and from. This is what is upon their hearts. And it's so important that God demands that we listen to it over and over and over again to drill it into our minds.
First reading, Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9, which is found in the Old Testament on page 163. Hear, O Lord, great Israel, the Lord is our God, and the Lord alone. We shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children, and talk about them when you are at home, and when you're away, when you lie down, and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them in the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The words of God, for the people of God.
Today's gospel reading, our second scripture reading, is from Mark chapter 12. One of the scribes came near and heard them, that is the disciples, disputing with one another, and seeing that Jesus answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" And Jesus answered, "The first is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Then the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one dared to ask him any question. The word of God for the people of God.
So in case you haven't figured out by now, I do like to ask questions. So even though I just asked them questions right up here, I'm going to ask you guys a question again. How many people here have ever been to summer camp? Summer camp. I really love camp. I spent years and years and many summers working at camp. And although I never discovered the magic of camp as a kid, I definitely discovered it as an adult. I worked at this really great camp throughout all of my seminary years called Pictured Rocks United Methodist Camp in this really small town in the middle of nowhere in Iowa. And it was this wonderful, amazing place where I got to practice all this great stuff that I was learning in school. And I spent the summer with all of these great kids, and we would go caving and rock climbing and canoeing and hiking and you name it. We did it. We even had go-karts. It was amazing. And interspersed throughout all of the activities that we did was a steady dose of prayer and Bible study. But at the end of every day, we ended with a gigantic group campfire where we all came around to talk about whatever the theme was that day, and we sang songs to God. And we got to make at that place, especially around that campfire, some of the most amazing, authentic community that I've ever seen dedicated to Christ. And although I learned a lot from my schooling, I got to tell you, I learned a lot more from the kids than I probably learned at school. More about faith and more about loving God than you can even possibly imagine. And we had some kids that came to camp pretty often. We had them 1 week at a time. And we had one boy in particular. This is my third summer there. He came 4 or 5 weeks every summer. And we're just going to call him Mike because I can't share the names of minors. But in my last summer as a counselor, Mike really showed me what it was to truly love God with your whole heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. See, in 3 summers, I had spent many, many campfires with this young boy, and I had never once heard him sing at all. He always looked like he wanted to sing, but he would never sing. And in that 3rd summer, I asked him why it was that he never sang, and he told me that he was embarrassed by his voice, that he was afraid that he would be made of for how his voice sounded if he sang. And after talking about this for several weeks, because Mike was always at camp, we were talking and he approached me one night at the campfire and said, "I'm going to sing tonight." And I was so excited and I was so proud, but I couldn't let that shine through because I still had to light the campfire. But throughout the whole campfire time, I was indirectly watching him at every single song because I wanted to see him sing. And in each song, he just stood there. But for the final song, he didn't. He sang. I heard the voice of this child, and his voice wasn't loud. It wasn't strong, and it wasn't pretty, but there was a truth in this boy's voice that was like nothing else I had heard. He sang the words to the song that we always sang to close our campfires. I'm sure these words will be familiar to many of us. "Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you." And in that moment, Mike taught me exactly what it meant to love God with every aspect of our being. In that moment, Mike let go of everything that he was and gave everything to that moment. And it was like something I've never seen. It's so much so that when I read these scriptures about loving God with all aspects of our being, that I can't help but think of that moment with this boy. Thinking about the absolute freedom that I saw in his expression of faith in God. He went from a place of fear and apprehension and self-consciousness to a place of true freedom when he decided to take that risk and sing. Mike was truly loving the Lord with every piece of his heart, his soul, his mind, and his strength. And it's in this scripture, the first one out of Deuteronomy, that we find the Israelites. And they're also finding themselves in a new place of freedom. They found themselves in a place where they were free from all of the previous confines that had been upon their lives. They were free from the shackles of Egypt, and they had come into this desert, and they were finally allowed to discover who they were again. And what did God do when once the people had been freed? What did they do once all of these distractions had been pulled out of their lives? God gave them a new set of rules to live by, to know that their lives would be different now. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children and talk about them when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise." First, God changed the lives of these people so that they would be into this time of formation in the desert. And then he told them to recite these words when they were at home or when they were away. But neither Egypt, where these people had been, or the desert was their home. These people had been without a home since their ancestors fled from famine, and God was now telling them that they should recite these words whether they were at home or away. This means that the people were going to have a home again. These homeless nomads were no longer going to be homeless anymore. God was in process of returning these people to the home that they had once known but had lost. And these people, completely vulnerable before God, instead of forcing these people to bend to his will, what God said is, love me with all of your being. And I'm sure that you can all think and know that you can't force a loving relationship. Love is a choice that is freely given. God was looking for the people to make a choice to be in relationship with God. God did not want these people to have a relationship with God just because they thought they should. God wanted these people to have a relationship with God because they wanted to have a relationship with God. This was a new starting point for the people of Israel. This was a point where their relationship with God was truly solidified. Now, this relationship would sometimes be a rocky one, especially on the side of the people, but the relationship was now there and was now a constant in the people's lives. That constant was God and the words that God gave the people to live their lives by. However, we know that this is not where the story ended, because we're still here today. And we know this because of the lives we lead. My apologies. Simply following the words was just not enough for the people. They needed more than just the words to get us from the place of fear to the place of being in true relationship with God. Dr. Brené Brown puts our problem well. She says that humans have, and I quote, a deep sense of love and belonging that is an irreducible need of all people. We are biologically, cognitively, physically, and spiritually wired to love and to be loved and to belong. When those needs are not met, when we don't function as we were meant to be, we break and fall apart. We ache. We hurt and we get sick. End quote. When we needed more than just these words at this time. We need more from God than just words, which is why God gave us the gift that he gave us in his Son. We needed the word, to be made flesh and to dwell among us. Loving the Lord your God with every aspect of who you are, and loving the Lord, loving your neighbor as yourself, took on a whole new meaning when Christ came. When Christ came to be among us, Jesus did something unique. Jesus was able to be a connection for us between us and God in a way that had not been possible before. For the first time, loving your neighbor as yourself meant loving God as you would love yourself. Both of these great commandments were now possible to achieve in a direct relationship with God because of who Christ is. So how do we love the Lord our God with all of our souls, with all of our minds, with all of our strength, and love our neighbors as ourselves? What are the things that are plaguing us so that we cannot be truly free? What do we have in our lives that keeps us from being fully open to God? And I know, at least for me, the answer is pretty clear. It's fear. We are afraid of being fully connected with each other while desiring to be connected with each other at the same time. We are afraid to open ourselves up fully to God because we are afraid that we might open up ourselves to be fully loved, the bad parts along with the good. To be open to being fully loved means that we have to make ourselves vulnerable in ways that we have never thought possible. We have to be comfortable with every aspect of who we are. And being comfortable with yourself is not always an easy thing. While teaching a confirmation class several years ago, I knew that one of the youth would bring this question up in earnest. I know that Christ says to love your neighbor as yourself, but what if you don't like yourself? Again, Dr. Brené Brown puts it well. She says, true belonging only happens when we are present, our authentic, imperfect selves to the world. Our sense of belonging can never be greater than our level of self-acceptance. End quote. When Christ says that we should love our neighbors as ourselves, Christ is implying that we accept ourselves fully, that we should accept every piece of ourselves because we accept the fullness of ourselves, that we are able to accept the fullness of everyone else that we come into contact with. Now, at that campfire that night, Mike accepted the fullness of who he was in relationship between himself, God, and all of the other campers around him. This was a holy moment of what it means to be not far from the kingdom of God. Mike gave the fullness of who he was, heart, soul, mind, and strength to God in the presence of his brothers and sisters in Christ. Remember that he was afraid that others would reject him or make fun of him because his voice was not up to par with where he thought it should be. And you know what? Nobody made fun of him. Nobody looked down upon him. He was accepted and loved for just who he was. The song that he sang was truer in the beauty of where it came from than anything else you could possibly hear. Because he was being his full, authentic self as an offering to God in front of his friends. Now I want to challenge us to do something similar. Find one of those spaces in your lives where you are afraid to be fully yourself. Find one of those spaces where you are uncomfortable to give all of yourself to God because you are afraid of what that will mean from your peers. Hear the good news, my friends, that God loves us just as we are. God loves us how we are made. And Jesus loves us and wants us to be present in the world. And Jesus loves the pieces of who we are that we are afraid to show to others. This is why Jesus says that we must love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength, and that we love our neighbors as ourselves. Because when we do this, we bring our true, full selves as an offering to God and show others what it means to come close to the kingdom of God. Amen.